chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. If you just look where I'm going to read a verse of Scripture, I could quote it, but I'll read it to you. Romans 5, one of the great chapters of the Bible. All of them's great because it's the Word of God. But chapter 5 of the book of Romans is a wonderful verses in the chapter here. It's so much truth and understanding of what man is and what God did. And we always want to exalt Christ and not man. Amen. God don't exalt man. He exalts His Son. Anything good about man's His Son. It ain't no good about us but the Son of God. Verse 12 is a very familiar verse. He said, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The word sin, this means that you've violated His law, missed the mark, you offended Him. The only one offense a man has is he's a sinner. And everybody's born imperfect in this world. No man's born perfect. Only one was, Christ. He's the perfect one. And without Him, you have no perfection. You have no salvation. You have no reconciliation to God. I think about this thing this morning, about Adam. I've been thinking about Adam this week. I was thinking about when God made him. God made Adam out of the dust of the ground, the dirt, the clay, mud, whatever you want to say. It says the dust of the ground. And God formed man the way He wanted him, in His own image, in the resemblance of God, the likeness of God. And God breathed into his nostrils, his nose, the breath of life. God breathed into him. I still don't have the fullness of what the breath of God was that day. He breathed in Adam. The Bible said he came a living soul. God, man is a soul. And Adam became a living soul. Think about this. God created this one man, Adam. And Adam was perfect when God made him. He was a perfect made man. If I could say this, what God makes is perfect. Amen. And listen, he was holy. Amen. He had no sin. He had no iniquity. God gave him a paradise, friend. Eden means a place of pleasure. A paradise. Thank God. Here Adam's made in that image of God. And now Adam is commanded by God. Thank God that he could eat of every tree of the garden thou mayst freely eat. It was of his freedom that he had before God that he could eat of every tree. But God said to Adam, I command you, thank God, that if you eat of the tree, if you take of the wrong tree, I'll tell you, you're going to die. The tree gave a specific on it. He said, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, the day that thou eatest, thou shalt, notice the words, thou shalt surely die. He just didn't say you're going to die. You'll surely die. And man being a soul, man being a God giving him a spirit, God, this man sinned against God, and this man, my friend, became a sinner. Now think about this. In Adam's case, amen, Adam was perfect, holy. God was living in a perfect paradise. What but one command, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when Adam took of the fruit, God within him, the holiness, the perfection was defiled. Amen. Listen, we were born sinners, friend. Thank God, we was born with that iniquity. We was born with that depravity. Adam was not. He wasn't born. He was made, created. But think about this. The day he took of that fruit, think about what he felt within him after being made perfect and whole and right. Amen. How he feels within him. Shame. He feels within him, my friend. Thank God. He can't get in the presence of God no more. His sin had took him away from God. And listen, thank God, his sin, my friend, brought within him, amen, a nature of corruption. Amen. Listen, mankind is born with that today. My friend, the Bible said we're shaping in iniquity. Without my friend grace, we don't have a chance. Amen. Unless God says this. And God said, I'll give grace. I'll save sinners. I'll make them whole. I'm going to impute my righteousness. I'm going to make that thank God on their account. I'm going to take height. He ain't got a chance. He sins so exceedingly. He's wicked, corrupt. You put him beside me and he is a nothing. Amen. He's a dirt bag. He don't have one good thing in him that would satisfy me. Amen. Not that it should. I'm telling you this morning, friend, if you really see where mankind really is, he don't have a chance unless God has mercy on his soul. Unless God deals with his heart and let him see himself in the very mirror of God's law. Because the law is a mirror. Amen. James said, thank God I beheld my face. I forgot what God said. Thank God the law is a mirror to show us exactly what we look like in the eyes of God. The law is holy, just, and good. You can take any commandment in the Bible. Say, my friend, the Bible said, thou shalt not kill. But if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. Amen. He said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But he said, a man to look upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery in his heart with her. Amen. He said, thou shalt not covet. And Brent, we've had that desire for things God has forbid. Every man's a sinner by nature and by choice. He's sinned against the holy God by one man's sin. A sin ain't got death in there to the world. And so Adam didn't physically die even though he began to. Because he, my friend, ain't God couldn't live forever. Amen. Listen. It was the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Thank God the spirit now is dead to God. He can't reach him in fellowship. He can't worship him. That's why a lot of people just got outside stuff. Listen, I'm not belittling the outward man. I'm trying to preach to you the truth that you can fix the outward man up and go to hell, my friend. You can look as best you can, and we spend more time coming to the house of God on the outward man than the inward man. Brother Jeremy called me this morning and he said, what's it like? I said, well, it's raining. And he said, boy, they'll come in rainy, won't they? I said, no, they come in the spirit, they won't. Because God don't change whether it's rain or sun. Thank God I come to Gideon with him. And I'm telling you this morning, amen, friend, we're creatures, amen, that have a lot of faults, a lot of leaky places, amen, a lot of troubles, amen. That's right, I've been saved now, thank God, up around 36 years. And friend, I find I've got a lot of faults about me. I've got a lot of weaknesses, amen, but God's the one that's strong. Amen, I'm telling you this morning, God lets a man see himself that he might see him that's high and lifted up, and know without him we can't do nothing. Amen. Adam is a sinner, and you are a sinner. You might believe it or not, you might not agree with it, but the day Adam ate the fruit, God said mankind's a sinner. Hey, God, man, Brother Keith, when he ate the fruit, you ate the fruit. When Adam ate the fruit, I ate the fruit. That's right, friend. Thank God, friend, I'm telling you, you're not born with any goodness, no spark of goodness, no goodness about you. You're dead in sin. And friend, you can't believe till you're made alive in your inward man. A quickening work of God through His preached word, through the Holy Ghost, through the workings of grace, that God quickens and opens that man up under the gospel preached unto him. And brother, the breaking of the heart, the sufferings of God, amen, within a man brings him, amen, to God's Son Jesus. I wrote this down. I usually don't preach like this, but I'm going to talk to you about a Calvary experience. How fans are sinner this morning. He's going to have, thank God, a Redeemer. And listen, friend, Jesus died, amen, that man might be saved. If a man, listen, he didn't die a random death. He didn't die, my friend. Thank God that he'd leave it all up to you whether you want it or not. In fact, that never was the purpose of Calvary anyhow. The purpose of Calvary was to die for sin and please the Father and purchase the people that would believe in him. Hey, God, I'm telling you, if you're going to have a Calvary experience, first of all, you've got to go on trial. Amen. Jesus had to go on trial. Amen. Jesus had to face trial. Well, friend, he had done nothing wrong. They couldn't find nothing wrong with him. Pilate even said, I find no fault in him. Amen. But that religious crowd kept pushing the issue and said, away with him, crucify him. And he said, well, what for? He's a blasphemer. He proclaims to be God. Amen. Jesus had to go through a trial. You'll have to go through a trial. Thank God, to go through Calvary. You'll have to be tried for your sin. You'll have to be tried for your guilt because you sinned against God, friend, this morning. And without that trial, thank God, you never can be judged. Because, friend, you're going to have to go through a trial, amen, before they can pass judgment. And so there's a trial. And then after they said he's guilty, then there's a scourging. Amen. They spit in his face. They beat him, my friend, with a whip. They spit in him. Amen. They done everything they could to shame him. Hey, friend, listen. God's going to have to break you. Amen. Listen. A man don't get saved by chewing gum and coming to an altar and shaking an ice cold preacher's hand and say, I believe what you're saying. He gets saved because God breaks him. He gets saved because the Holy Ghost draws him. He gets saved because he sees himself. Amen. And he has to go through that. If a man don't break in his heart, he'll never come to God. Amen. And I'm telling you this morning. Listen to me. I believe any child can be saved like an adult. But I don't believe in childhood evangelism, the fact of making them professions and baptizing them when they're little children and they have no understanding of what the gospel is, what sin is, and what salvation is, and what changed life is, and what repentance is. If they don't have an understanding, they'll never get saved, I'm telling you. I'm for anybody, that's between them and God. Whoever gets saved, between them and God. And I'm telling you what, these people trying to get all these children saved and giving them, thank God, my friend, a false hope, it makes me mad. I'm against it. I'll tell anybody, listen, I'm against it. I'm against it. If your church is for it, I'm against what you're doing. Amen. To get them to pray a prayer, repeat a prayer, and tell them they're saved, and they don't know, they ain't never been under Holy Spirit conviction. They've never been under the drawing power of God. They've never seen themselves lost. And we've given them a little 1, 2, 3, and they made a profession and went to hell on it. It's sad, but it's not the Bible what they're doing. It's their lone man's tradition and religion. And I'm telling you, when a child gets saved, he'll get saved the same way I did. He'll get saved the same way you did. And brother, I'm telling you, there's got to be a breaking. And if there's not a break, there's no salvation. Amen. Hey, notice this. Not only did they scourge him, that they nailed him. Now, I'll tell you what nails us. The law nails us. Son, something nails you to a cross. Amen. You know what it was? You a lawbreaker. You're a sinner. That's why he died. Amen. That's why a man dies, because he's a sinner. And friend, I don't think we'll understand this. Hey, listen this morning. Depravity is a deep thing. Listen what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah said the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? If your life is full of deceit, if your life is full of deceitfulness, amen, I'm telling you this, you don't have God in your life. You say, where are you going with that, preacher? I'm telling you where I'm going with it. I'm going to the fact that truth purges you from a deceitful life. And that don't mean your heart can't still be deceitful, but it ain't going to live like that. And I'm going to tell you this too. Deceit, he said, listen, I like what Pete said about it. He said that heart was deceitful above all things. He said that's even including Satan. If it's deceitful above all things, that means your heart will deceive you. That means your old carnal nature deceive you. That's why me and you sometimes, even as people are saved, try to justify what we do and say what we want to say to justify what we're doing. And that's just a deceitful heart, because the Bible don't teach such stuff. You don't have to justify nothing. It's already been justified. Amen. Listen, when a man gets nailed to a cross, it's the law that nails him there, friend. It's the law that nails him there. I'm telling you, lawbreakers, God set up a law, a system in the Bible. If a man breaks the law, he's a guilty sinner. Amen. Notice this here. He was numbered with sinners. Jesus was numbered with sinners. Listen, listen to what I'm going to tell you right here. Everybody listen to me. Look up here. I want to tell everybody this with both feet and both eyes open. Anybody that thinks they're better than somebody else, there never have been a grace work in them. You ain't no better sinner than nobody else. I don't care what my last name is. I don't care what blood flows through my veins. It's still sinful, friend, as anybody's. There's more characteristics of sin in some people because that's the choice they made. But I'm telling you this morning, in the eyes of God, seeing sin, and every man's a sinner. He was numbered with the sinners. Amen. That's right. If you don't see yourself like any other, listen, friend, thank God, the day God got me under conviction, I saw myself, I thought I was the worst man that ever had lived. Amen, brother. I never thought, well, I'm better than Danny. God said, no, you as lost and you as sinful, you as bad as anybody. He was number sin. Notice this here, he humbled himself. A Calvary experience is a humility. It's humbling. Amen. It's humbling. It brings you low. It don't bring you high. It humbles you. It makes you want to get down, son. It makes you want to hide somewhere and say, oh God, I didn't know I was that bad. Oh God, I didn't know. Oh God, be merciful, me a sinner. I mean, God, you've done humbled me. Under the mighty hand of God, you've convicted me and you've showed me. God, I'm humbled before you. This morning. And friend, there's nobody gets saved without humility. Amen. Listen. A Calvary experience is humility. Hey, you got to humble yourself. Friend, don't talk somebody into getting saved. It ain't going to work. It's humbling. I preached up there at Brother Miller's on tying his hands. Tying the hands of Christ. Binding him. I'm tired of churches binding him. They won't give the work to God. They got some smart aleck that thinks they know more than God, and he can talk to him and give him some instruction better than what the Holy Ghost can. I think there's a time for a word. Philip went to the desert, but he didn't give him, thank God, 7 steps. He preached Jesus to him. If you got enough discernment sense about you, you won't boast in what you've done. You'll boast in what Christ done for that sinner. Humility. Humility. Oh, yes, it's humility. Why do you think God said few there be that find it? It's a humbling way, Brother Joe. No, it's just here. That's right. Here's the thing. A Calvary experience is shameful. Now, here's the thing. That bearing that shame's tough. I mean, to actually bear shame before people. Jesus hung on the cross. In my estimation of it, the shame of the cross was his nakedness. I hope the Holy God, please give his people this. If anything, God give, he's got to strip you. He's got to strip you. You can't come to God. You can't come to God holding on to nothing. You've got to be stripped. He's got to strip you of everything you trust in. He's got to strip you, my friend, of everything. Amen. Remember they said he trusted in God. Why don't he now? He became us. That's why. Thank God he has died for us. Amen. That's why the Lord forsook him. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God even stripped him from his presence. God even stripped him from his clothes. Amen. Listen. If a man's got to be saved, he's got to be stripped from everything. I'll tell you something else too. He had endurance. He endured the cross. He endured it. And listen, if people get saved, they have to, in this grace, endure and go through the charge. If you think about today, Brother Joe, that Jesus was charged, and then think about the hour he hung on the cross. He endured the cross. The Bible said that. He endured. That means that he had grace to go through it. You ever see anybody get under conviction? You thought they was under conviction? And they tried their best to fight it. That's the first thing when you get under conviction. You know what the first thing is you're going to do? You know what you're going to, you know what you're saying? God ain't got a right to tell me I'm that bad. God, I'm going to tell you, thank you, Lord. He's got to strip you. And he's going to have to give you grace to endure it, because I remember that feeling of Holy Ghost conviction. I said, "Oh, God, I'm going to hell. Oh, and the God, can I be this bad? God, help me." I mean, walked in that for days. Sat down at the table and couldn't eat. I'm not saying everybody goes through that much, but I'm telling you this. They have to undergo the seeing their self. And only God can get you through that. I mean, the hardest blow a man ever take is the blow Paul took on the road to Damascus. He's going down to Damascus with letters in his hand to cast men and women into the prison house. And all of a sudden, he gets knocked right down to the ground by a light from heaven. Wasn't expecting it. It just suddenly hit him so hard, it knocked him, can I say, for a loop. It hit him so hard, son, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest, hard to kick against the pricks." Somebody asked me, when did I think Paul got saved? I said, well, he got saved somewhere right in there. When he submitted to God, and that was the works of God, when he got to Saul, Ananias' house, he called him Brother Saul when he got there. But I'm telling you, if you're ever going to have a Calvary experience, there's got to be some endurance. God, Son, Jesus, endured the cross, no assist. There's got to be a cry to the Father. Listen to me this morning. Here's where a lot of people don't get saved. When Jesus cried, he said, "Into thy hands do I commend my spirit." He yielded up the ghost. If I could say this and you'd believe it, salvation, a Calvary experience, is you give it up yourself. That's where it's at. You say, "Why some people keep coming to church, Brother Hyatt?" They gave up their self. You can't find people that hadn't given up their self. It's all about their self. It ain't about giving up their self. Jesus gave his, he said, "Into thy hand." He said, when he gave up the ghost, when he said, "Into thy hands do I commend my spirit," when he cried, thank God to God, he yielded himself. Thank God he gave up the ghost, friend. And I'm saying this morning, he's saying to God, he said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." In the darkness of his life, in a God-forsaken him. Here, can I tell you something? Listen to me this morning. You young people, listen to me. Here's the thing. You're going to have to come down and say, "Is God doing it?" But he's going to give you some opportunity, if I can use the word opportunity, or open door for you to act upon it. Do you want God, really? Do you want to do? Do you want God? Do you want to die to self? Do you want to give yourself? I mean, actually, when I got saved, God says, "All right, you ain't your own no more." That means you can't do what you want to do. That means that I bought you for life. I bought you for life. I bought you for life. Jonathan, what you say is right. You know why? Because God bought you for life. You're God's possession. And Jesus gave Himself. God committed Himself back to the Father. God, because it's a Calvary experience. Amen. Let me say this and I'm through with this. This is what Jesus Christ. It is finished. That's right, what it is. It's a done deal. Here's the thing, folks. Listen to me. What he was saying was, it's complete. Now, somewhere in God's workings in an individual's heart, you got on an altar right here. I don't know when you got saved, but I know you got saved because of your testimony and Holy Spirit. But somewhere it finished. God came in. It is finished. What God started, He done it till it was finished. Now, see, I believe this. I would never put God in a box. I can't do it. There could be anybody come in the church service and hear the gospel, and in a moment, God quicken them and save them. But there's some people that walk for days under that load. You went, what, 3 weeks? 3 weeks? He didn't get quick. He got quickened and God opened his eyes to it, but he never did come to it. It is finished. And gave up his all. See, what you're doing is when you finish yourself, you dying to self. What you're doing. God's a slaying you. Amen. Thank God with truth. And you'll have to submit to it. If you want to really have a true salvation and the Holy Ghost live in you, you're going to have to submit to Him. Amen. And Christ finished. I give myself to you, God. I've accomplished. Hey, Jesus said, really, I've come to do thy will. I've accomplished what you wanted. Amen. That Cody could be saved. Hey, God, that he would be saved. Hey, God, all I had to do now is send the Holy Ghost. And he's going to tell Cody, hey, God and Keith and Danny, amen, what I did, amen. Because faith comes by hearing. Because we wasn't there today, he died even though we were. That's right, he died for us. Amen. Do you think, I say again, brother, he died for Joe, he died for Danny. He died for Jonathan. He died, thank God, for, amen, Justin. I mean, thank God he died, praying for us. That's what it's about. Amen. There's no such thing as steps to salvation. It's all a work of God immediately. What he's worked in an individual, amen, to bring them to that place. Amen, that the Holy Ghost pressure and the word of faith, thank God, puts it on them. Amen, opens their eyes and brings forth a burden. Hey, God, that repentance and faith is the, hey, God, the results, amen, of what God done, amen. So it's by one man sin entered into the world, that's Adam, and death by sin, death come that way. I saw that, I was sad to read this morning on the news, a 7-year-old little boy got killed out there on 152. 7 years old, that's young. I got grandchildren. You know, when I hear about a child passing away, it saddens my heart so bad. Because I can think about my own. And a family going back and walking into a funeral home looking for a little coffin to put a 7-year-old boy in. That ought to cause us to weep. I don't know the people, but I will say this. Every funeral home I pass, I can say for us by one man sinned. One man put that funeral. That's right. One man. Adam. Death came because of sin. Why's men die? Because they're sinners. Amen. Why are you looking so old, Brother Hyatt? Because I'm a sinner. My body's decaying because of what's in me. It's sin's in me. It's going to kill me eventually. Amen. It's a leading cause of death. That Brother Shane's got a shirt that says that. Leading cause of death, sin. That's right. Because the wages of sin is death. One man's sin brought death into the world. Go by a cemetery. Go by anything. That shows death, friend. Amen. I seen it the other day. Cars wrecking. Somebody died in it. I'm just saying by one man. Amen. Them deaths come by one man's sin. And death by sin. So death passed upon all men. That's right. And I'm going to tell you this, friend. Name but one man can take you out of sin. Can I give you this morning? Listen, I'm through. The only way you're taken out of sin is He said, I took their sin. He never looked at me and said, no, hi, buddy, he repented. No, that ain't why. You better stand on your hope. And the hope's in Christ. It ain't what I done. And see this, can I use this? This is true. It's like Jesus Christ when He died. And the day that God's Son died and gave Himself up, rose again the third day, He could justify me in the face of, or in the sight of the Father. But this is what He said. Man, look at Hines' record. Goodness. He rebelled against Mom and Daddy. He could have been stoned under the law. He cursed. Oh my goodness, he's a blasphemer, disobedient, a wretch, committed all kind of... Oh my goodness, look at these sins on his account. But you know what God says? I'm going to put the righteousness of my Son right there instead of that. And when I look at it, I'll say, saved, justified, born again. Praise God. All these things my Son did and done for Joel Hyatt, that's all that's saying about him. Never things good about him. Never things right. And he's got my righteousness and he's got my, thank God, my sin offering. And everything about him's right. Why? Because he went to Calvary and done it, friend, for us. And friend, listen, it ain't how good you live after you get saved. That's what he done. Thank God to save you. Amen. Well, I'm going to say, well, look what I'm doing now. Buddy, take your hand off that. Well, you might shame him before nightfall. Listen, I'm for a personal Calvary experience. But Christ has already experienced it. And that's the experience we trust in. Now, if somebody said, can you give me your experience? I'd say, I can give you what I can give you what God done for me. But the old preacher said, this is what he said. He said, I'd rather give you my hope. Because it don't waver. What you trusting in, who you hoping in. Have you ever had God to take you to Calvary? That's really what He does. And you know why He done it? Because one man sinned. And Jesus is the one man, thank God, that became sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Can I tell you this? Let me tell you this and I'm through. Okay, I've done said it one time. What time is it here about that? Can I say this? Do not live in guilt. Unless you're under a charge of being guilty, the charge has been lifted. Not charged no more. It's done been lifted. I've been saved. I told Cody yesterday, we was talking. It just come out of my mind. I don't know. Sometimes this thing come out of your mind. I said, you can't win defeated. You can't win defeated. You can't have victory defeated. See, the devil is going to try to defeat you by bringing up false guilt to your mind. Remember what you did. Look how bad you did. But Jesus never said that. He said, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He said, I love you. What about the prodigal, man? What a great picture of the father. Here's a boy that's been down, spending his money on righteous living like the devil. Amen. Going down the far country, don't have nothing. He give everything. He don't have a dime to his name anymore. He spent every bit of that inheritance. He's living in a hog pen, eating slop. Amen. The husk and the fodder. Amen. He's down there and he can't get no help. He's hungry to death. He's got in his own mind, amen, I'm going to die down here probably. And then this inkling of thought comes to his mind, well, wait a minute, my father's got bread enough to spare and I need to get back here. But if I do, I'm going to have to admit that I was wrong and he's right. And if I do, I got to admit that I'm sorry and I shouldn't have done that. And all of a sudden he came to himself and he said, I am sorry, amen. And I am bad. I am in a bad shape. And I really need to get back, but I know daddy's going to be real mad when he sees me coming up the road. That's the picture you have of God. That ain't the way God is. Cody, you can shout the victory today if you get in on that. You can't. Me and talked about that yesterday. Son, we don't shout by what we live in. We shout because of who He is. You say, preacher, you drawing an open book here. I said, no, I'm drawing from the well of grace. And when that boy come up the road, his father ran to meet him. He ran to meet him and fell on his neck. And he kissed him, thank God. He kissed him much. Amen. Thank God, what mercy, what love, what grace. That's the way the Father is. If you'll come to Him as you are, that's the way He'll greet you. Amen. Because He loves you. He killed a fatted calf. Put the best robe on Him. Shoes on His feet. Ring on His hair. Killed a fatted calf. He's coming home. Thank God we're happy. He's alive again. Amen. To God. He's back home. Praise God. That's the way God is. Y'all got the wrong idea of God. That's why you don't worship Him. Listen, I could get in here this morning and I'd do it once in a while. I could get in here and take one sin and preach it like you was going to hell if you're doing it, and you'd all get on the altar. That's the way you believe God is. That's right. I could get up here and preach on unfaithfulness, and every one of us is unfaithful sometimes. Now, I ain't talking about to the house of God. It is that too, but I'm talking about to God in general. I could say, bless God, y'all bunch of sorry, low-down sinners been unfaithful to God. People would come flood the altar and say, oh, God, have mercy on me. But you get about preaching the love of God and the forgiveness of God and how God loves man, amen, and how He loves His own, amen. He will deal with somebody who does it in love. People say, yeah, that is right. Son, if you're not moved more about His love than you are His guilt, you got the wrong idea of God. Because, listen, can I get everything that we trust in, nothing left. Everything we trust in is what He did. Amen. Brother, I'm telling you this morning, He did that for you. Praise God. He's the greatest Lord that ever could be. If you could take the worst man in the world and take his place. Really, that's what He did. He took the worst people that ever was created and took their place that they might live. What a God. Let's stand this morning. Thank you for hearing me.